إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن فرعون علا في الأرض وجعل أهلها شيعا يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, in today's khutbah, I want to mention a few stories of Musa alayhi salam and how, as Muslims living in the United States, we can take inspiration from those stories and fit them into our daily lives while living in this society. There are three stories which I wish to touch upon. If I get time, I will do all three of them. Otherwise, I can try to do them in my next khutbah. But there are three particular points, three particular parts from the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that I would like to touch upon. And all three are relevant to our life in the United States at this time and age. The first point of the life of Musa alayhi salam was the very beginning stages of his life. At the beginning of his life, Fir'aun, the tyrant who claimed to be God and who was butchering people left and right, was told by his soothsayers and fortune tellers that a person from Bani Israel would be born and he will be the one who is going to overthrow you and destroy your throne. So to prevent this from happening, Fir'aun used to kill any male newborn child that was being born to the Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how he used to do this in the ayah which I've just recited from Surah Al-Qasas. Inna fir'auna ala fil ard wa ja'ala ahlaha shi'a yastad'ifu ta'ifatan minhum yudhabbihu abna'ahum wa yastahyi nisa'ahum innahu kana min al-mufsidin. Indeed, Fir'aun, he was arrogant on the earth. He was a tyrant on the earth. And he made the dwellers of the earth, he made the dwellers of the land into groups. Divide and rule. Divide and conquer. He used to treat and oppress a group from amongst them. He used to slaughter their sons and he used to keep his women alive to treat as slave women. Indeed, he was from the people who were spreading corruption on the earth. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. So when this was going on, obviously when all the children are being slaughtered, the mother of Musa alayhi salam becomes pregnant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it in such a way, her pregnancy, that you could not see that she was pregnant. It was not apparent that she was pregnant. And she had the baby, and she was keeping the baby a secret from the society around her for fear of his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guided her as to what she should do in this very precarious and very difficult time for her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a few verses later on, again in Surah Al-Qasas, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُوهُ إِلَيْهِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُسَلِينَ. We gave wahi to the mother of Musa alayhi salam, and wahi is more of an inspiration here, not a wahi in the form of Jibreel alayhi salam coming down and giving her revelation, but more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it into her heart that number one, she should feed the child and take care of the child. And whenever anybody comes who was dangerous and who might want to harm the child, she used to put the child in a box and she used to keep it tied up and put into the river which was close to her house. So whenever the danger passed, she should just pull the box back and then the baby was with her again. But at one point what happened, somebody suddenly came, and because of this sudden arrival, she panicked, she put the baby in the box and she forgot to tie the box, and this box, it floated downstream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا رَادُوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled her and said that we're going to return this baby back to you and we're going to make the baby from the Mursaleen. I'd just like to stop the khutbah for a minute to just tell the kids to come in. There are kids, teenagers wandering around and they really should be listening to the khutbah. They should not be outside and wandering around. If you brought your son with you to the Jummah prayer, you should make sure that he or she is sitting with you and not wasting their time. It is an obligatory part of the Jummah that the khutbah be listened to. They should not be outside. So please, if anybody is seeing distance and you're seeing somebody, please beckon to the kids to come outside, inside and listen to the khutbah. So the box, it floated downstream, and whose house does it float to? It floats into the gardens of Fir'aun. Into the gardens of the palace of Fir'aun. And it so happened that the family of Fir'aun, Asiya radiallahu anha, Asiya bint Muzahim, who later on became a Muslim, she was with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that point in which they picked up the baby. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. The family of Fir'aun picked him up from this box that was floating downstream. They picked him up, and ultimately this picking up was the beginning of their downfall. لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. Obviously in the future he became an enemy to them and a source of grief for them, because he became the means of their destruction. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. Indeed, Fir'aun and Haman, who was the wazir of Fir'aun, and their armies, they were khafi'een, they were making a mistake. Both in their following of Fir'aun and in this episode of picking up the baby Musa alayhi salam from the river, they made a big mistake. And the wording used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is counting everybody involved. Fir'aun, Haman, and all of the armies put together. All of the armies put together. All the power that Fir'aun could muster up could not overpower this little child that has come into their midst. They could not do anything. He's slaughtering thousands and thousands of babies. But the baby that is going to destroy him is right under his nose, and him, his power, his armies, his wealth, his prestige cannot do anything against this baby which is right under his nose. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. Fir'aun and Haman and their armies put together, they were making a mistake. And of course, being the wonderful and beautiful baby that Musa alayhi salam was, it is reported about him that anybody who used to see him used to immediately fall in love with him. This was the charisma and the attraction that this beautiful baby had. And all babies have that wonderful aura about them, that everybody looks at babies and becomes, smitten and falls in love with them straight away. So the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya, she could not have children. It is reported in some riwayat that Fir'aun could not even get close to her for some reason, that whenever he used to try to get close to her, his body just used to freeze up. And obviously because of that, she could not have children, And she sees this beautiful child, and that maternal instinct that is present in every single woman was awoken in her, and she wanted this child to be her own child. The ayah says, وَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنُ قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكَ لَا تَقْتُلُوهُ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. The wife of Fir'aun, she said, this child is a coolness for my eyes and for yours. Don't kill him. Maybe he's going to benefit us. The Mufassirin say, yes. It benefited Asiya. This child benefited Asiya in such a way that it saved her from the eternal destruction of the hereafter by giving her iman. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Asiya in a verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Tahrim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes her as the example of a woman of iman, one that women should look up to and should revere as an example to follow in the level of iman that she achieved. She prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of her life, that Fir'aun who was torturing her, that, oh Allah, رَبِّبْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Allah, make for me a house in Jannah which is close to you, and save me from this Fir'aun and his tyranny, and from these tyrannous and oppressive people. So she sees the baby and she wants the baby, and she persuades Fir'aun not to kill him. لا تقتلوه, don't kill him, maybe he's going to benefit us, or we're going to make him a child and the people are not even going to realize. You know, it's one in a thousand, thousands of children, you probably kill the one who you want to, who the soothsayers and the fortune tellers were talking about. Fir'aun was not persuaded. He believed that this is that child, but yet he could not do anything. Who could do something, who can do anything when Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something to happen? Nobody can compete with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. The heart of Musa alayhi salam's mother became farigh. It became empty and desolate. She was only focusing on one thing. What has happened to my child? Where has my child gone? Again, a very natural instinct for every mother who is facing her child being kidnapped or getting lost. The terror and the fear that one goes through in those days. They cannot eat, they cannot sleep. And of course, the mother of Musa alayhi salam was no exception. إِن كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. She was very close to disclosing to the people about her child if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا, if we had not made her heart strong and made that heart full of iman and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she would have disclosed it. But what she did do, she said to the sister of Musa alayhi salam, وَقَالَتْ يُخْتِهِ قُصِّي, go find out what happened. Go make some investigations and see what happened and see if you can come up with anything. The ayah says, فَبَصُرَتْ بِهِ عَنْ جُنُبٍ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. The story goes that Musa alayhi salam in the palace of Fir'aun was not taking anybody's milk. Newborn child, and not taking anybody's milk. Everybody's upset, everybody's worried. The queen's new adopted child, if he doesn't take any food, he's going to die. So what are we going to do? So they had sent the child into the marketplace, into the middle of the town square, and asked for women to come forward who could feed him. And she saw from afar that this was happening. فَبَصُرَتْ بِهِ عَنْ جُنُوبٍ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They didn't realize that she was watching, and she saw what was going on, and she approached them and asked them, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. We had made the maradi', the breastfeed of women, we had made it haram upon him from before. So she said, فَقَالَتْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاسِحُونَ. Shall I tell you about a family who can take care of him for you, and they will be very good for that child? They will take care of him well. So obviously, they said, of course, bring her forward, whoever it is. Can you please move forward, inshallah? Fill up the spaces, we're running out of space in the back. Move forward if you have any space in front of you. Please fill that space up. So the story goes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned Musa alayhi salam back to the mother. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. So she was brought forward, the mother was brought to Musa alayhi salam, and of course Musa alayhi salam took her milk, and Asiya became very, very happy, and she offered that the mother of Musa alayhi salam should stay in the palace, which she refused. And she said, what we will do, we will take the child from you, and we will take care of the child, and whenever you want, you can come visit, or we can bring him back to you. So now the situation completely changed. Just a few days before, it was a situation of panic, hiding, secrecy, and making sure that nobody sees Musa alayhi salam. Otherwise, if he's seen, then he's going to be destroyed. He's going to be killed. And right now what is happening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely changes the situation on its head. And Musa alayhi salam is not only at ease, the mother is also at ease. She doesn't fear anybody killing him. She doesn't fear anybody walking in and seeing him. And Musa alayhi salam is getting tarbiyah and being raised in the palace of Fir'aun himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the situation, فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. We return him back to his mother, كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ, so that her eyes could become cool by seeing him, and she would not be upset. وَلِتَعْلَمْ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ, and that she could know that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but most people, they're not aware of this. Now, this first story, what can we learn from this story of Musa alayhi salam as we are living in the United States? What relevance does it have to us? First and foremost, we have to understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to show us His power and His will even though all circumstances seem to be against you. Sometimes we feel that living as a Muslim in this country is so difficult, and everything and the whole system seems to be against us. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us through this. He has the power to take us through this. Just like Musa alayhi salam. On the one hand, he is about to be killed. He is about to be slaughtered. And thousands of babies are being killed by the order of Fir'aun. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes Musa alayhi salam and puts the baby right under the nose of Fir'aun, and yet Fir'aun cannot do anything. So as Muslims, we have to understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to understand that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen, it will happen regardless of what anybody is trying to do. Regardless of whether we feel that the system is against us or not, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen, it will happen. And this should be our faith and our yaqeen, our iman. We should maintain our trust in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to maintain our tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this story, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously, first and foremost, from the river which could have killed him, and from the armies of Fir'aun which could have killed him, Musa alayhi salam is brought right under the nose of Fir'aun, right into his palace, and yet he is safe and sound, and nobody can do anything to him. we should have that same kind of tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He can work miracles when it comes to His religion and His deen. The third thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will make His deen, His religion, and the bearers of the deen victorious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the respect of this deen, the honor of this deen, in front of people's eyes, which might seem very strange in this day and age that that could ever happen. But when we see and we ponder over the story of Musa alayhi salam, how he was saved, we can understand that it's not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things like that happen. And fourthly, in this country it seems impossible for Islam to be appreciated, yet we can take a hope, an optimism from this story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can and will, against all odds, give Islam a favorable light in this country, inshallah. The second story that I want to talk about, again related to Musa alayhi salam, it is the time when Musa alayhi salam is returning from exile. He is coming back after spending many years for fear of his life because he accidentally killed somebody and he was afraid that the army of Fir'aun would punish him for that, so he ran away. And after coming back, this was when he was given the glad news of prophethood, and he tried to excuse himself from taking up the responsibility of the prophethood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that in quite a few places in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ نَادَى رَبُّكَ مُوسَىٰ أَنِ ائْتِ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ قَوْمَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَلَا يَتَّقُونَ قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يُكَذِّبُونَ وَيَضِيقُ صَدْرِي وَلَا يَنْطَلِقُ لِسَانِي فَأَرْسِلْ إِلَىٰ هَارُونَ وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْبٌ فَأَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ قَالَ كَلَّا فَاذْهَبَا بِآيَاتِنَا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ مُسْلَمِعُونَ Musa alayhi salam, aware of his weaknesses as a human being, tries to excuse himself. He says, first and foremost, I stutter. I cannot even speak properly. How am I going to talk to somebody and give him da'wah? And my heart, وَيَذِيقُ صَدْرِي, my heart becomes tight. Person, when a person panics, his heart beats very, very fast, and it seems like his chest is basically getting tight upon him. So he says, send Harun, my older brother, he speaks much better than me, send him, he could be a better ambassador for you. And on top of that, Musa alayhi salam said, وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْبٌ, I committed a crime, and I'm afraid they're going to kill me for that. Those very same people that you want me to go to, I committed a crime, I killed one of their people, I killed a Qibti, a Coptic person. So I'm afraid they might kill me. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond? كَلَّا, certainly not. You will go. فَاذْهَبَا بِآيَاتِنَا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ مُسْتَمِعُونَ Go with our ayat, go with our signs, and go to Fir'aun. I'm with you, listening to you, I'm seeing everything. My help is with you, my assistance is with you. And according to another verse in the Quran, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى Both of you go to him and speak to him gently. Speak to him in a nice way. Don't speak to him in an arrogant, in a harsh fashion, or you will push him away. Just imagine how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, didn't take no for an answer when it came to the responsibility of Musa alayhi salam. He wanted him to go and give the message despite his disabilities, which Musa alayhi salam was fully aware of. And he promised his assistance, number two, and number three, he told him that you have to speak to him in a gentle way, in a nice way. So the lessons we learn from this, number one, we have so many disabilities when it comes to become as Muslims. Number one, we are weak as Muslims in the first place. So we think that how am I going to do the work of da'wah? Look at the story of Musa alayhi salam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pushed those disabilities to the side and said, no, do what you're supposed to do. Tell people about Islam. Practice Islam. Become an ambassador of Islam by practicing what Islam teaches you. Be a shining example of what Islam truly is about. Not what the media portrays as Islam and what a fringe element of so-called Muslims are displaying throughout the world. Become an ambassador for Islam. Become a good person who shows what Islam is truly about. And if you do that, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you. And don't be harsh, don't be abrasive. If a tyrant like Fir'aun is being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa alayhi salam to go to him and speak to him gently, then nobody can get to that level of tyranny and oppression that Fir'aun got to. We should speak gently and be nice and kind with our words to anybody who is ignorant about Islam. And remember, ignorance is an excuse, is excusable. Look at the story of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud, when he is wounded, his teeth have been broken, blood is streaming down his face, and he's wiping that blood from his face, and he's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi, fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive my people because they don't know. So ignorance is excusable to an extent. We should feel sorry that people are not aware of what truly Islam is about. And partly it's our fault because we didn't fulfill our responsibilities as true ambassadors of Islam. And because of that, the people are ignorant of what Islam is truly about. So this is the second part of the story. This actually, the story goes on, and inshallah I'm going to continue this khutbah next week. The lessons that we can learn from the story of Musa alayhi salam in relation to us being Muslims in this country. It's a very fascinating story of Musa alayhi salam, which is mentioned throughout the Quran, and we need to do the best that we can to learn lessons from it, inshallah. A couple of things that I need to talk about. It's very important to understand that a landmark case is starting in the courts starting this Monday, which you've probably heard about, the Holy Land Foundation, which is being indicted and accused of funding terrorist groups in the Middle East. So this is a very important case to us, for us as Muslims. First and foremost, there isn't much of a case against them, but these people, they need our support. We have to try to be there at the courthouse and try to do the best that we can to show our support to our brothers who've been accused in this way, because it's not just the Holy Land Foundation that has been brought into this case. There are 300 or so individuals and other organizations, major organizations like ISNA, ICNA and CARE, and other organizations that have been accused and put into this list as unindicted co-conspirators. So, la samahullah, if these people get, they are found guilty, then everybody else, basically, they would have a blemish on their character, and we will hear no end of this. As Muslims in this country, this is a very, very important case for us. And of course, if they are set free and they are not found guilty, then obviously all of the other unindicted co-conspirators, the blemish will be removed from their record also. So how can we help? We have to try our best, number one, to participate in the court case and go as much as we can to the court while the case is going on, just as a moral support. We don't have to take placards and, make noise outside the court or anything. Just as quiet observers, just go into the courtroom, and that will show our support, that people are really concerned about this case, people are worried about this case, and they have a very good level of support within the community. And it's our right to be present there. There is nothing wrong with it. You're not going to be indicted for anything. You're not going to be accused of anything just because you are participating in the court case. you've been requested again to move forward a little bit. There's a lot of people at the back. Please move forward if you have any space. So try your best to be at the courthouse. And the next thing is that you can try your best to support MLFA, which is the Muslim Legal Fund of America, who is getting together all the prominent attorneys to fight this case. One of them is Linda Marina, who fought in the Al Arian case in Tampa, Florida, which was a 51-count indictment against Sami Al Arian. None of the charges stuck. It was on most of the charges, the jury said not guilty. Only a couple of the charges, there were 10 of the jurors who wanted to free, but 2 were basically undecided. So because of that, he couldn't get free, and he again took a plea deal so that he could be set free because of the long duration of the case, about 3 years that it took for them to finish off the case. So we have to try our best to support our brothers and pray for them. If we cannot go to the court, the very least we can do is pray for them, because this case will have an effect for Muslims for the future. We should not lose hope, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for our brothers, inshallah. The second thing is that, inshallah, we're going to have a small fundraising after this salat for the expansion of our center. As we know, this is the central location in Dallas. And as you can see, we are running out of space for the Jummah prayer. We always have to tell people to move forward. And it's got to such a degree that we are considering even having 2 Salatul Jummah every week now, because it's such a tight place. And of course, we need more room for the school and other activities that we do. It's not just the school and the masjid. There are dawah activities that are going on. There are open houses. And you know the rest of the things that are going on. So I request you just to sit for 5 more minutes after the salat, inshallah, so that we can conduct our quick fundraising. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.